The recording has started.
In Esther, chapter 4. Esther, chapter 4. The topic I wanted to share on today was called, How Will You Respond? In Esther 4. Speaking about information constantly comes our way, more so like today than ever before. We are receiving much information all the time. And many times the information that we receive is negative, or it's challenging. And I guess you could use the word bad news, so to speak. You know, if you're receiving bad news or challenging news or something that's come up, you can't prevent information from coming to you. You know, you can't, whether it's good or bad. It's going to come to you. And there are situations that arise in life. There are a lot of wonderful scriptures in the Word of God that talk about the kind of life believers will live in this world. In other words, persecution and pressure are used in those scriptures. So things come at you. Things come at your way, and there are situations that arise. You can't stop those from coming. The thing you can control is your response to those situations. How are you going to respond when those situations, they certainly, surely will arise in our lives, and they have, and they will more and more. One way to respond when you hear bad news, say, oh, darn. What am I going to do now? What's going to happen to me? You know, why did this happen to me? Fortunately, you know, there are better ways to respond to that. And I just wanted to look at that today. And how are we going to respond? Esther 4, verse 1. You remember the history, and you know, I won't go into much detail. Ahasuerus is the king, and he had his wife did some talking back to him that he didn't appreciate, so he had her replaced. And she was replaced by Queen Esther, as you will remember. And then there was a gentleman named Haman who was raised up to be chief of the princes, and he was one who had problems with Mordecai, who happened to be Esther's uncle, who was Jewish, and you guys remember that history. And this record here in chapter 4, what had happened is Haman had convinced the king to kill all the Jewish people, or at least attack them all in the kingdoms, and the various kingdoms that Azarias reigned over. And so it's a pretty serious threat. You know, if someone said, well, you know, in Ontario, anybody who's not a Christian, like that truck that passed by before, you know, go ahead and go in and kill all the Christians that you want to, and the government will not hold you responsible for that. That's essentially what Haman had convinced the king to do. So it's not just like, oh, okay, no, it's serious. You're about to lose all the Jewish people in the kingdom. We're about to be slaughtered. Mordecai, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, Mordecai perceived all that was done. He rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes. So it was a pretty sorrowful situation. And went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, she being Jewish herself, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai onto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened. So she didn't know yet about this. And of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. So financing the death of all these people as well. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for her people. So this is what Mordecai, her uncle, asked her to do. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. You know, so she really just can't barge in. She could be killed. And he had, you know, removed a previous queen. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. You know, this is, like, Mordecai is, has received some pretty serious, you know, I mentioned bad news comes. This is pretty bad news. You know, bad, serious information that came to him. Now, there is one way he could have reacted here. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews, because you're also Jewish yourself. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And I just read that record, I read that verse, and I go, oh my goodness, right? He's got his daughter, his niece is the queen of the land. What he could have said here was, you're our only hope, Esther. You got to go in and do it. If you don't do this, we're dead. We're toast. We're finished. It's over. Like, you're the queen. This is where God put you here. And that's not what he said. Like, I mean, I think about, you know, what is the underlying, what is the strength upon which we respond to situations that come at us? And that's what I was thinking about. He says, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom of such time as this. Maybe this is why God put you there. But he didn't say to her, you are the only hope that we have. And I read that and I go, oh my goodness. What does he say? He says, look, if you don't do this, I know God will deliver us. And that is, well, we'll talk about strength of confidence in his God. Esther, yeah, maybe you're called here. Maybe you're going to die. I don't know. All I know is God is going to deliver us. And that is his response to pretty serious news. He didn't lose his mind and say, oh my God, Esther, you got to do this. I don't care about your life. Go in. He'll give you the scepter. Never said that. He said, I know God will deliver us. Proverbs chapter 24. Psalms, Proverbs, and nice verses in Proverbs that talk about this sort of situation. You see, we're believers. We're not trying to be believers. We are believers. For example, we've all believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that Jesus is our Lord. We believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have eternal life. We wouldn't be able to speak in tongues. We are believers. You know, we're not like, and I don't want to use the word in a negative way, the common lot of man, but men who, you know, people who don't believe in God or who don't serve the Lord or have no interest in the things of God, we're different from that. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Oh, that's not politically correct. Well, God is not concerned about political correctness at all. Right? He says in here, if you faint in the day of adversity, bad news comes at you, you know, or bad situations arise, things aren't going your way. God says, if you faint that day, your strength is small. Take it or leave it, you know. Same way it says, if you don't believe in God, you're a fool. Right? You know, so, you know, did you ever try opening up with that as a witnessing lot? You don't believe, you're a fool. That's what the word says. And related to this verse, in verse 16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. So instead of, you know, fainting in the day of adversity, God says, you know, if things happen, you just rise again. And you go back to knowing what you know is right to do, which is to believe God's word. Now, it's not complicated. Again, I always try to say life is not complicated. It's a very simple life in that respect. Mark chapter 5. See, if I react like everybody else reacts when things come your way, when information comes that you particularly do not like or do not enjoy or, you know, are sad to have heard, if we react just like everybody else, what has believing in Christ done for us? What has us being believers done? Now, I love Mordecai. I know God will deliver us. I know that. That's what he said. Here in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship into the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. You know, again, this is bad news. This isn't just, you know, oh yeah, you know, I'll get a hangnail, you know, paper cut. No, my daughter, he says, she's about to die. You know, it's going to happen. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then in the intermediate session, you know that he heals another woman. But down in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. That's bad news. You know, that's not just, you know, cold weather today or whatever. Your daughter is dead, he said. Why are you troubling the master any further? You know, that's not easy news to handle. It's not easy to handle that. So I love Jesus Christ's response. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of saying, Be not afraid, only believe. You see, he, the way to handle the information was not to freak out and lose his mind. And that is exactly what the man could have done. And Jesus knew that. And he turns to him right away and said, Listen, don't you be afraid. And that's one of the things that we can tend to do when that information comes at us, whether it's good or bad, you know, bad information. Hope we don't get full of fear of good information. Anyhow, if you receive bad information or bad news, you can tend to be afraid. What's going to happen to me now? Oh, I can't believe that happened. How could this turn out? What's going to happen? Where the Lord says to him, Look, don't you be afraid. You believe that man's in Mordecai. I know that God will deliver us. I know that. Jesus Christ had the same confidence in his God. Let's keep reading. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. So now you're going to see a lot of bad information coming Jesus Christ's way. You had all these people crying and wailing as he's walking into the situation. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make you ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. At one time they're crying, now they're laughing. They're wailing and weeping. And then he says this, and they all scorn him. That's information. You have to deal with information that comes at you all the time. The Lord had to deal with the information that came to him. You know, it's not just like, you know, he wasn't God. You know, he wasn't. And we know that. That's why in the garden, when he had to pray, I don't want to go through this, but I want to do your will, because I always do your will. And here, they're laughing him to scorn. You go into a situation and say, you know, someone's hurt, and they say, I can help you. They're saying, what do you know? Come on. How are you going to handle that information? Are you going to freak out, lose your mind, or are you going to do what Mordecai said? I know God will deliver me, us, our people. What's our response to situations? Are we just like everybody else? Or is it that we respond knowing, you know, the firmament of our life is God and the things of God? But when he had put them all out, that was his response. And I love that. There's a great response to bad information. Get out! Get rid of it. I don't need your scorn. Just get the heck out of here. And he did. He took him up. Get up. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, get up, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. I mean, what a blessing. What a great deliverance for that man. Right? First he counsels the man to make sure he receives the information in the right way, and then he has to deal with information himself. And he deals with it with constancy, confidence in his God that he would bring it to pass. And he certainly did. John chapter 11. Of course, we could read the entire Gospels about Jesus Christ's response to situations. In John chapter 11, 37. This is this record of Lazarus. You guys are well aware of the record. And some of them said, in verse 37, could not this man, talking about Jesus Christ, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should have died? Is he really not that powerful, is he? Couldn't he have stopped this? Information. You know, it's just stuff coming his way. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, I don't blame him, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. You can't take the stone away. He's been rotting, and the smell is going to be horrible, and he's dead anyway. So what's the... You see, it's just information. Things are coming to him. You know, you receive information. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to process that in your mind? What are the ways of thinking we've developed in our minds to process bad information coming at us? What is it? How do you handle it? Jesus said unto her, didn't I say that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. You know, and he goes out loud, prays audibly, out loud, to deal with this information, but I love what he says here. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He did it for the sake of the people who were around him who didn't believe. He was constant. He had no doubt what was about to happen. But I know you hear... Do you believe that God hears you always? Do you believe that God delights in your prayers? Do you believe that he's listening to you? Or is it just something we do? How much in esteem do we hold prayer to God? How important, how valuable is it to you to pray to your Father every day? What does it mean to you? Well, if we had this kind of confidence, I doubt a day would go by that you didn't pray to your Father. I know you hear me all the time. That's how he handles this horrible situation. I know you hear me all the time. And what happens? Out walks Lazarus in verse 43. In Acts chapter 8. You know, if he didn't believe that God heard him, that would have been a pretty tough situation otherwise, don't you think? Yet he said, I know you hear me all the time. And so when he spoke and said, Lazarus, get up, come up, he came up. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was contending unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against certain. Remember one of the words we talked about? Great persecution. When God uses the word great, he means great. It's not just, you know, a little slap on the hand. Great persecution, because they'd already managed to have Stephen stoned to death, and Paul was going about entering into homes, blaspheming, and committing people to prison, and giving his voice against them, and, you know, forcing them to blaspheme, it says, all kinds of stuff going on. Great persecution against the church. which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. There's lots of bad information coming here and against the entire church. Situations arising. How did they handle it? Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. How did they respond to this very, very tough situation? Oh, well, let's go into hiding. Let's stop. Let's not talk about it. I don't want to get into trouble. You see what's already happening to Stephen. You know, Paul's been killed. He took my cousin Jim there and made him say that he believed, and we had him killed. You know, all this stuff. They could have said, what'd they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. The next record is a record of Philip going down to Samaria, preaching Christ onto them. That's how they handled a really tough situation. How do you respond to situations in your life? How would you, you know, they could have gone a lot of ways here, right? They had the option to go this way or that way, and they chose to speak God's word. You see that later in back in Acts as well, where they were, you know, beaten for doing it. What did they do the next day? They went and preached the word again. You know, how do you handle it? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1. How will I respond? Second Corinthians chapter 1. Again, this reminds me of Mordecai. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, right, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Mm-hmm. Same kind of situation that Mordecai and people were facing back in Esther's time. They were about to be killed. And here Paul says, we were close to death. This was death. It's over. That was the end of that journey. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. And that's the thing. When something comes your way, a lot of times we just trust in ourselves and our ability to handle it. And those times, things don't generally work out very well. Paul said, we don't trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And we just saw two records of that. You know, the daughter and Lazarus. We trust in God who raises the dead. So, you know, when that situation comes at you, whatever it is, you serve a God who raises the dead. In fact, you started out believing in that God by believing that he raised Jesus from the dead. You know, these are all things in your life that you have done that show the stability of your life on a foundation that is sure and steadfast and certain. God raises the dead. Paul said, we chose rather to think about that God that raises the dead than us about to die. You know, he turned it around. That was his, and then verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver. And by the way, if anything should ever happen in the future, he will yet deliver us. That's the way you respond to situations that come your way. You know, well, sir, this is the last day. Well, I got to fire you. Got no more work for you. Oh, my God, how am I going to make bills? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to you? Well, you can choose to, you know, freak out if you want, or you can choose to say, well, I remember those records. I remember Mordecai. I remember what he said. I remember Jesus Christ. I remember Paul. I remember, you know, you just go down the line, all the records you remember, and what they trusted in. What should I do in this situation? How should I respond to the situation? In 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy, a couple more verses. You know, are we going to respond as sons and daughters of the Creator of the heavens and the earth? As those who are placed in the body with the most powerful person at the head, whose name is above all principality and power and might and dominion and all that things read in Ephesians, above all that is named this world and that which is to come. Are we going to respond with that? You know, and I'm not talking about some kind of false comfort here. Where, oh yeah, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. That was challenging Mordecai. They had to deal with that. In fact, you know what? The king couldn't reverse that. In fact, that time they couldn't reverse that actual thing, even though Esther said, but what they did do is say, now you're allowed to protect yourselves. And in fact, it says more people became Judeans that day than ever before. They turned it completely around, but they still had to deal with the situation. It was still a pretty tough situation. So this is not some kind of false comfort saying, oh, don't worry about it, everything's cool, smooth, don't worry about it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your believing, being rooted and grounded on a God that raises the dead, and a God who had his son raised for you and I, and in whom he wrought all that power that raised him that you could have access to. That's what you believe. That's the certainty upon what we stand on. And from that foundation is where we start dealing with situations that come our way. 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, this is really bad news, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. How would you have liked to have been the Apostle Paul? You know, given your life, literally, many times over, to preach the gospel and then to find out all those people in Asia Minor were turned away from him. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes, right? They had turned away from the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Gives you a little bit of an indication of where his mind was at when he would have received information like that. In 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, this is when he was in the courts, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Everybody left. You're on your own, Paul. So he's giving his response to the courts, and they're gone. This is the Apostle Paul. We'll do anything for you. We love you. All gone. All turned away from him. And he was standing in the courts alone. All had forsaken him. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Well, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. See that? Where was his confidence? Yeah, it would have hurt. I mean, you can't say it didn't hurt him that all these people who had bled his life out for him, had been with him and still with him, were gone. But where was his confidence? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. What a place to put your confidence. That was Paul the Apostle. He couldn't prevent those people from turning away from him. He couldn't prevent from being stoned, from being shipwrecked, from being beaten, from being beaten, from being beaten. Many times. He couldn't prevent that. But he could choose to say how he responded to it. And he chose to say, the Lord stands with me. Mordecai, I know we're going to get delivered. Jesus, I know you hear me always. Right? Just all those things you think about, that's the same confidence we can have no matter what comes at us any day. We'll close in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth, light of the world. Now, if we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, I don't want to respond just like everybody else. Romans chapter 8. What do people see when they see you and I dealing with situations that come our way? What do you want them to see? How do you want them to? I'm not so concerned about what people think, but are we different? Do we handle situations according to the confidence that we've been given in a God that raises the dead, or don't we? In Romans 8, great section, 31, what shall we then say to these things? And here it is again, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's the confidence that we have. If God's on our side, it doesn't matter who's against us. Again, like we like to say, a list could be long. But it doesn't matter who's on the list. If God is on our side of the list, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God's elect. God's elect. You're God's inheritance. You know, we're his elect, chosen, sanctified, set apart for heaven. Not, you know, apportioned with a common lot of man, but set apart, the Word of God says. God that justified, who can condemn? Christ that died? No. Yea, rather, has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Why would he? He's doing all this on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword. All those things are in the category of bad news. Persecute, bad news that comes our way. God doesn't say here, those things aren't going to come your way. That's not what it says. It says, can those things separate us? No. Verse 36, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Paul said we didn't trust in ourselves, but in God. Through him who that loved us, for I am persuaded, and this is it, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, are we persuaded also? Are we at the point of being persuaded? Whatever comes, whatever information, whatever news comes at us, do we handle it with the persuasion that Paul talks about here? Do we handle it with the confidence of a Mordecai or of Jesus Christ or of Paul or the people who were persecuted in Acts 8, who decided to act according to who they had been made in Christ Jesus? Decided to act, recognizing that they served a God that raises the dead. You know, if you can do that, nothing worse is going to happen to us. You know, so how are we going to respond to situations?